대한민국 정부 성명 세용의 대륙간 탄도로켓 시험 발사 성공.
Welcome to Window on North Korea, an attempt to humanize our image of everyday North Koreans with the help of defectors now living in South Korea and elsewhere. Given the role of North Korea in international geopolitics these days, it is important to have more than the two-dimensional impression we get from the mainstream media of this seemingly inscrutable country. I am Fran Callaher, your host. This episode will cover the different calendars the Koreas use, certain dates of importance, including a little about Kim Jong-un's birthday, and a few words about the new year in North Korea. Both the solar and lunar calendars are important to South Koreans, and most of the calendars one can buy there include both solar and lunar dates. Usually a calendar will have the solar dates, months, and date of the month as the dominant calendar, but in smaller print or in some way, shape, or form, they'll indicate the lunar date as well. The beginning of the lunar year in Korea is the same as the Chinese New Year, and each month changes strictly according to the phase of the moon. Some calendars you can buy in South Korea also indicate the year of on the Buddhist calendar, and also the Tangi, the date according to the period of Korea's mythical founder, Tangun. So this year, 2018, actually is the year 2562, according to the Buddhist calendar, dating from the year of Buddha's birth. And it's also the year 4351 of Tangi. So 4351 years of the Korean kingdom as founded by Tangun. The Christian calendar, or the Western calendar, dating as we know it, this year being 2018, was officially adopted around the turn of the 20th century in Korea. And of course, at that time, there was only one Korea. I'm not aware of how, if at all, the lunar calendar is used in North Korea now, but they do have a distinctive calendar of their own. The Juche calendar begins its dating in the year 1912, actually on April 15th, 1912, the date of Kim Il-sung's birthday, the founder of North Korea. The Juche calendar was established in 1997, so 3 years after his death, by his son Kim Jong-il. So this year, 2018, is year 106, according to the Juche calendar. One of the contributors to the Ask a North Korean feature of the nknews.org website wrote about growing up with the Juche calendar, taking it for granted, and also thinking it was really sounded more elegant and sophisticated than the Western calendar, as they distinguish it. As she was first growing up, she had no idea what Juche meant. She just knew it was something that she needed to respect. But quoting now from an article called Why Does North Korea Use Such a Unique Calendar? From the time I entered elementary school, I began to learn little by little the meaning of Juche and why we should regard the Juche calendar with more dignity than the Western solar calendar. It was in elementary school that I learned that we count the years from the day Kim Il-sung was born when we reference the Juche calendar. I finally learned that Juche meant self-reliance, the idea Kim Il-sung supposedly embraced while fighting against Japanese and U.S. imperialists. While learning about the great achievements of Kim Il-sung, I found myself immersed in the Juche ideology gradually. I was still too young to fully understand it, but I could sense that it meant something bigger and more profound than most people can imagine. End quote. This contributor, a defector from North Korea now living in South Korea, said that after she defected to South Korea during the interrogation by the National Intelligence Service, which is standard for all defectors coming from North Korea, she kept referencing the Juche year instead of the Western calendar, and that it really irritated the agent who was interviewing her. Just force of habit was pretty hard to break. As far as how they deal with dates preceding the year 1912, which of course often come up in school and in life, they do use the Western or solar calendar to refer to those years. So there's nothing in the Juche calendar such as BJ or before Juche, but anything after the year 1912 is referred to in Juche years. So the new calendars for 2018, apparently the official North Korean calendars, of course, have recently been issued. And it's been noted that, contrary to tradition, the calendar this year is much less laden with propaganda and idolization of the Kim family, and more focusing on landscapes and natural scenery. Apparently, the heavy-duty propaganda was not going over well with the population. Also, the two main national holidays of the year, Kim Il-sung's birthday, known as the Day of the Sun, and Kim Jong-il's birthday, the Day of the Shining Star, were downplayed on this year's calendar compared to previous years. The print is smaller, and it's just not made as much of a deal. Overall, the symbolism in the interest of patriotism and idolization of the regime is much less this year. Kim Jong-un's birthday is not noted at all. It's interesting how we apparently did find out the true date of Kim Jong-un's birthday when retired basketball star Dennis Rodman was visiting Kim Jong-un back in 2014. There was a special game in honor of Kim Jong-un's birthday. It wasn't supposed to be revealed, but in an interview with Dennis Rodman, he kind of spilled the beans inadvertently. So we do know, or at least think we know, with some degree of confidence, that the birth date is January 8th. Whether we know the year for sure or not, I'm not privy to that information. But there is yet another theory about why his birthday has not yet been made a national holiday. Kim Jong-un was not originally expected to be the successor to Kim Jong-il in the succession of the family dynasty. His elder brother Kim Jong-nam at one time was assumed to be the successor to Kim Jong-il. Kim Jong-nam, you may be aware, was actually assassinated in this last year, presumably at the direction of Kim Jong-un. And the important difference between the two is that, besides the fact that Kim Jong-nam is no longer with us, they have different mothers. Or more importantly, that Kim Jong-nam had been the eldest son, usually the first in succession, of course. Turns out both of their mothers were consorts or domestic partners, but not technically wives of Kim Jong-il. From what I've been able to figure out, Kim Jong-il was only able to bear daughters by his official wives, and thus the succession of the regime depended on his, what we would consider, illegitimate sons. So officially recognizing Kim Jong-un's birthday as a national holiday would possibly invite what a contributor to the DailyNK.com called unwanted side effects, principally the public recognition of his birth mother, Ko Yong-hee, a consort of his father. Announcing Kim's birthday as a national holiday would automatically tie the date and Kim Jong-un to Ko Yong-hee. The reason for this lack of a national holiday on Kim Jong-un's birthday, continuing from the Daily NK, may be due to Ko's lowly songbun, or social status. According to the country's three-tier classification system devised in 1970, Ko is a member of the hostile class, the lowest rung on the ladder. This is because Ko is an ethnic Korean who was born in Japan, a fact that automatically pulls down her rank. Ethnic Koreans in Japan rank among the very lowest of society, including prisoners of war and people who have engaged in counter-revolutionary activities. Ko Yong-hee's very existence is therefore a major blow to the revolutionary bona fides of Kim Jong-un. End quote. So simply put, they don't want to call attention to his parentage by making his birthday a national holiday, at least not yet, until he has enough accomplishments to override that unfortunate fact about his parentage. I've been reading from an article posted on the DailyNK.com titled "Family Shame Explains Why Kim Jong-un's Birthday is Still Not a Holiday." It should be pointed out that this article does not reflect the views of the website DailyNK.com itself. I've strayed into some history here, but originally intended to give you an idea of the important dates on the Korean calendar and what has contributed to their establishment, or lack thereof. I just want to point out a couple other things about the passing of the new year in North Korea. It's compulsory for all North Koreans to watch the address to the country by the country's leader, in this case, Kim Jong-un. So workers are required to gather to hear the speech together, or others are required to view it in their homes. Turns out they think it's actually kind of a boring address to watch. They might have heard his remark about his nuclear button on his desk at all times and not thought much of it, whereas we, of course, heard much more about it, thanks to the response of our leader. But not being so interested in the content of the speech, the North Koreans actually were much more interested in the fact that Kim Jong-un did not wear a Kim Il-sung pin on his lapel during this speech for the second year in a row, and also his choice of attire. It has changed over the years. It was interesting to look on the website. This is, again, dailynk.com, an article called North Koreans Focusing on Kim Jong-un's New Look More Than New Year's Address Content. He wore a black Mao suit for his New Year's addresses from 2013 through 2016, but then a year ago changed to a black Western suit, and then this year changed again to a gray suit, gray necktie, and white shirt. This is thought to possibly be an effort, one among many, to remind people of his grandfather, Kim Il-sung. He does bear quite some resemblance to his grandfather, especially after efforts to fatten him up after he took power and to just draw a closer association between him and his beloved grandfather. He also donned glasses the last couple years. This was probably also with the hope of ridding him of his youthful look and making him appear older. Nonetheless, he apparently has not been able to calm his uncomfortable demeanor during his speech. His father, Kim Jong-il, actually rarely spoke in public, but Kim Jong-un has been addressing the public with his annual New Year's address, but never looks particularly comfortable in the deliverance thereof. There were frequent cutaways to the image of the building where the speech was taking place, so frequent that apparently they were covering up the fact that he was actually referring to his notes. There had been a myth that he was so brilliant that he memorized his speech and never had to refer to his notes. But the numerous cutaways cast some doubt on that myth. Lastly, in the spirit of the new year, it's come to people's attention that the practice of saying "Konpei," the Korean version of cheers when people are toasting each other, has infiltrated into the North. This is apparently yet another effect of the influence of South Korean media working its way into North Korea. It used to be that North Koreans would salute each other when toasting with the word chukpe, but among younger people at least, the gunpe culture is taking a hold. This actually leads to some strife within families between generations. One last quote here from the dailynk.com, an article titled South Korean Drinking Culture Creeps North. Quote, "People used to toast to great scientists and the People's Army, but now they toast to wealth and becoming successful business people. It's now the era of personal self-reliance, so naturally, conversations revolve around making a living," end quote. Actually, that was quoting from a source in North Korea, quoted on the dailynk.com. Listen again next week and most Saturdays at 10 a.m. on KTWH for another window on North Korea.